Welcome to the Biomedics Conference Call. Today we have a very special guest speaker, Dr. Russell Thomas, who will be speaking with us today about his new book, Turbocharged Childhood, Fresh Hope for Raising Children with Attention Disorders. And let's get right to the call. Dr. Thomas writes this book to parents who are raising children battling attention disorders. Dr. Thomas, drawing from your 28 years of clinical psychology experience, share with us what you've seen in the field.
Years now. It's hard to believe that they would license somebody at 5 years old, but they did me. And during that 28 years, I've spent a great deal of time working with folks with severe mental illnesses, bipolar disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, that sort of thing. But I have always done a lot of assessment with both adults and kids. With the children in particular, almost every one of them had to do with either a learning disability or attention deficit problem. So that was sort of, my foot in that door all along through the whole 28 years. I've also done some work with elderly, and hopefully one of the sequels to this book is going to be discussing similar things with geriatric populations, particularly Alzheimer's and memory problems. But anyway, that's another day. But that's my background.
And so in your years of psychology work, have you spent considerable time with children, adults of all ages in these attention deficit issues? Is this something that's become sort of a specialty for you?
It has. It wasn't necessarily, sometimes you get on a path in life and you go down it, and then all of a sudden you realize, number one, you're really enjoying the view as you go, and number two, that your energy picks up when you're on that path to walk it. And sort of the attention deficit thing was like that for me. My forte for years was working with the severely mentally ill, but I always did a lot of assessment for kids, particularly children with attention deficit disorders. And so probably for 20 years it was an assessment contact that I had. And I was the guy that when the teacher was pulling her hair out at school because they couldn't get a child to focus or stay on task, or maybe they were hyperactive, couldn't sit still, and the teacher said, gee, I think they might have an attention deficit, maybe ADHD, let's get an evaluation. Well, I was the guy that they called to do that, and I was expected to either confirm or give them another path in terms of what the appropriate diagnosis was. So I really was strong on the diagnosis of ADHD. And then, 5 years, that's the unexpected path that occurred in my life. I was introduced to some people who had children with attention deficit disorders that were doing extremely well with using nutritional supplements, which at the time I just thought that, that just didn't impress me much, except for it did capture my attention. It didn't impress me because, just basically because of tradition. Nowhere in my training did anybody take the time to talk about or introduce me to the idea that nutrition and mental health had any link at all. And I now think that's probably the best kept secret in healthcare, is because those links, which I will get into in a little bit, hopefully, and if I don't, it's certainly in the book, are all over the place in terms of just about every mental function there is. You can link back and draw a line back to a starting point, which is a nutrient. So I was introduced to these people, skeptical at first, and then became a very strong believer. And sort of how I became a strong believer is I wasn't going to put my professional reputation on the line at that point, but we had some family members who had some friends or their children that had some attention problems, and they said, you think that works? Let's try it. And I started seeing results, and I was kind of blown away. And then the stories that I had heard from other people taking the supplements started being confirmed in my own experience, in my own practice. And then gradually I started sharing this a lot within my private practice with parents that have attention deficit problems. And today probably, I call it coaching more than a professional service, because that's sort of what it feels like to me. I've coached probably, 60 to 100 sets of parents who were who had children with attention deficit problems. So over the last 5 years, I have become much more involved with the treatment aspect of ADHD, and now probably 75% of my practice at this point is working with kids with attention deficit problems, as well as other issues as well.
Well, it seems to me that the diagnosis is becoming much more frequent today. Is that a hard and fast number? Are there more people being diagnosed than ever before?
Oh, yeah. The prevalence is of ADHD, the diagnosis, is you just can't hardly get in a conversation with somebody that they don't tell you that, you know, their child is diagnosed, their cousin, their brother has a child, or somebody around them has somebody who's diagnosed with an attention deficit problem. You know, there's some question about, okay, maybe one possibility is we've got better at diagnosing it. The other possibility is that we're over-diagnosing it. And I probably lean more towards the latter, that we over-diagnose it. So, in fact, I say it's not a growing in prevalence, but it's growing in diagnosis. And so it's becoming a much more popular diagnosis. Really, not it is becoming, it has become. We're already there in terms of almost a fad in the mental health community of diagnosing ADHD.
You know, I know you point out in the book that it seems like it's become much more accepted for people to say, I have a mental condition. Is that sort of this, you know, demystifying of the, you know, this type of an issue? Is that what's going on? Are people willing to say more than ever before, hey, I have an issue, or my son or daughter has an issue?
Yeah, and I think it's convenient for people to say that. You know, it's convenient. Teachers, bless their heart, they have their hands full maintaining a classroom these days. And, you know, it's easy to call that energy hyperactivity. I mean, it looks like hyperactivity. It is hyperactivity. Is it really part of an ADHD problem? That we could talk about that till the cows come home. It's also convenient. Probably the number one place that I see it being diagnosed is actually not by a mental health professional. It's by the family or internal medicine, the pediatrician who's making the diagnosis. So, you know, you think about that for a minute. You know, you got a pediatrician that's seeing a child very short periods of time under tremendous pressure to make his practice or her practice work. So they see a child very, very quickly. If that child happens to be one of those kids with a lot of energy, it's just real convenient to slap the diagnosis on and start a medication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I can see that as a parent. There's always that question in your mind: Do any of these indicators fit the model, so to speak? You know, you're saying that there may be an overdiagnosis. 20 years ago, what were people comparing those symptoms to today? Was it, hey, he's just an excited kid, or?
Well, you know, the diagnosis is much more prevalent among boys than it is girls. And particularly ADHD, I think it's about a 4-to-1 ratio. So I think 20 years ago, we kind of threw up our hands and said, boys will be boys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, threw them out in the backyard, let them, you know, run, play football and soccer or whatever else, and just kind of run out that energy. And, you know, the teachers, again, were, you know, boys will be boys. And, you know, again, I think the way that the school systems, and I'm not here to knock any school system by any stretch of imagination, but options for dealing with it in the classroom are more narrow now than they used to be 20, 25 years ago. And so you have kind of this unbridled energy now that, you know, 25 years ago, they were sent to the principal's office and, you know, the paddle was administered. And that spoke volumes to a 7-year-old boy who was not having trouble holding still when he went back in that classroom. And we've lost that in most cases. And I'm not advocating for, you know, corporal punishment here. I'm just saying that that's how we used to deal with it, and instead of diagnosing it and medicating it. Mm-hmm. We spanked it.
Yeah, right. That was my father's motto.
Yeah, mine too. Well, I was that kid in the principal's office a couple of times too, as I hate to say.
Well, it's interesting because you're saying the diagnosis is much more prevalent today than it was before. Is medication much more prevalent than it was before?
Oh, absolutely. There were a couple of surprises. You know, I felt like, I've been around this thing for 25 years, and the last 5 years pretty intensive with it, and, you know, I've done my reading and my research, but when I was preparing for the book, there were several, there were some surprises, and one of them was that, I won't mention the medication, but the number one medication prescribed, a psychostimulant, is somewhere between, on just one, now not the, it's probably five or six or seven that are common, but just one gets about 2 to 3 million prescriptions per month in the United States alone. That's a lot of medication being doled out. So, yeah, I have to believe that you know, we're seeing an increase in the medicine as the number one option, go-to option.
So if the medicine is the number one go-to option, what was your number one reason for bringing this book out? Obviously, it was this experience that you had, but is there some hope for people out there that, you know, my biggest question is, you know, I see you learning through your own experiences. What about the rest of the industry? What about other people in your practice? What about other general pediatricians or people that are prescribing these medications? Are they coming along as well? Or?
Well, I think it's mixed. I am seeing in a couple of isolated areas that particularly the prescribing piece of healthcare is getting more open, particularly like omega-3s, for example, is now pretty commonly prescribed to children for behavioral reasons. And, you know, so my primary motivation for writing the book, and, you know, I apologize to any healthcare people that are on the call. The book was never meant to be an attack on healthcare system or the way we do business in healthcare. And in fact, it was an appeal to the healthcare to look at how we're doing things, because in my mind, 3 million prescriptions for one psychostimulant medication is something that demands a look at how we're doing business as a healthcare professional. So that concerned me. I've always thought that we were quick to hand out medication, but it has concerned me, particularly in the last 5 to 10 years, that we just seem to be moving more and more in that direction, more willing to throw the medicine at a symptom. And we don't really know what the long-range implications of that are going to be. So, you know, when I looked at all of that, I started, plus combined with what I'd seen in my own clinical experience, I said, you know, there are some things, and I've seen them now the last 5 years, that are out there that are options. And my motivation for writing the book was to present those options in a logical, common sense sort of way that wasn't full of scientific prose and wasn't also just sort of hype, but it had enough science base to it that somebody from the healthcare could say, well, okay, the guy has at least looked at some of the data, and yet simple enough that anybody could look at it and say, okay, I understand why this would work, and I understand why people are getting the results that they're getting here. I also wanted to throw into the book not just the nutrition piece, but the fact that if you're a family with an ADHD child, there are all kinds of implications there, just besides finding a medication or using supplements to calm things down. That has an effect on the whole family structure, on marriage, the siblings, the financial situation, where are the resources going. All of this I put in the book, and that came heavily from just my experience of working with families who were frustrated. You know, there's not but so much money here to go around. We're not taking a vacation as it is. The brother and sister resent that we got the ADHD son in in therapy, counseling, tutoring, you name it. We're spending a bunch of money trying to manage ADHD, and I address all of those issues in the book.
So it sounds to me like there's this almost this perception of a panacea out there for this medication that's being administered at the rate of $3 million a month, times probably seven, if you're saying there's six or seven popular as that. Those are staggering numbers. You're taking a holistic approach to this, not just in terms of alternatives to the medication, but really about how this issue of attention deficit factors in with the entire family and the social structure and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a firm believer that that you got to address the whole picture.
Well, you know, I know it'd be probably a little bit more than I could internalize, but, you know, give me some ideas in terms of where do you see the dangers of these medications are and what do they do that specifically nutrition can help?
Okay. You know, my concern with the medication is there's two or three concerns. One of them is, first of all, the recognition that pharmacy is a business. And let's don't resent them for that. You know, they're doing what any business does. They make a profit. It's just that they are extremely good at it, to the tune. In fact, I think I heard a figure the other night that said that pharmacy was the number two largest business in the world, and the figure was well into the trillions. So they have perfected. What does it mean to run a business? Well, you got to promote. And there's not a person on this call that didn't see the Viagra commercial this week, or, you know, the one for the Lipitor, or, you know, the ones for high blood pressure. You name it. We are being bombarded by pharmacy with their ads these days, and that is all by design. Again, when I was doing research for the book, I was just blown away at the marketing tactics that were being used by pharmacy, some of which, you know, I think are out of bounds, but they do it anyway. So, you know, I was concerned about how pharmacy operates as a business. But again, I don't think we ought to resent that. I think we just need to recognize that we are being bombarded by drug companies to buy their products. Now, why is that a problem? And one of the things that really just quite honestly angered me was something called off-label prescriptions. I had always assumed that this was illegal, but this is basically taking a medication that has been approved for FDA for some particular disorder, and one of the most popular ones is one that's prescribed for seizures. And somebody figured out somewhere that this tends to stabilize mood too. So now it is a big seller for bipolar patients, but FDA has never approved that for use with bipolar patients. Now, you take that and start applying it to ADHD, and what we find is that some of these medications have never been approved for children, for example. 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, there were huge lawsuits because they were given these medicines to teens. Some of them were antidepressants, some of them were psychostimulants, and they were getting what they call akathisia, which is just sort of this sense inside that you're going to jump out of your skin. Extreme agitation, and what these kids were doing was either killing themselves or somebody around them. There was a case right here close to me where a young man was prescribed a certain medicine, 14 years old, and shot his grandparents. The defense was, well, he was on this medicine. So that off-label prescriptions really bothered me because we're giving those to our kids. And as one, there's a quote in the book from a sociologist and a psychiatrist out, I think from San Francisco it was, who basically said, we're experimenting with these kids. We really don't know. And a lot of that is happening under the guise of off-label marketing. So we have to be very, very careful as parents about, we don't need to go into the doctor's office anymore, particularly with ADHD, and just accept what's being given to us. We really need to do our homework about, has FDA approved that for use with a child like mine, or was it approved, but approved for some other use? And in my mind, that whole scenario ought to be illegal, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I really stay concerned about the level at which we are prescribing these medicines and exactly how they're getting into our hands, because, you know, know, that's a marketing technique.
I see. Now, do you recommend to parents just, hey, take your kids off this stuff? It's too dangerous? Or what are you telling people?
No. I recommend that they do their research. I'm not in a position to say that. And I've seen some kids, Chris, that really the medications were really the answer for whatever reason. And, you know, so I couldn't even begin to say I'm not an MD, so, you know, that would be unethical for me to say, hey, take your kids off of this. I say become a partner in your child's care, or yours if you happen to be the one with, if you're an adult with ADHD, become a partner with your physician. He or she is your number one consultant on your case, but you have the responsibility to research what you're getting, what you're doing, what medication you're taking, and what other options are available for you. And then if you decide that, gee, I really want to go this other route, in this case with ADHD, the nutritional route, then begin to work with your doctor to do that. And quite frankly, if your doctor's not open to working with you on that, which some of them are not, maybe it's time to find a new doctor.
Okay. You know, without getting, again, too scientific, but can you describe some of the reasons why these drugs work and perhaps why a nutritional supplement may be able to help?
Sure. I put it this way in the book, life is a relay race. And to understand how drugs work or why they work or nutrition, you have to understand just a tiny bit about brain chemistry. And, you know, we're talking about an incredibly complex subject. I did my best in the book to try to stay faithful to the concepts of what goes on in the brain, but I kind of reduce it down that this whole activity in the brain is like a relay race. And I sort of jokingly say there are runners, swimmers, helpers, pads, pools, and sharks, and that makes it simple. But what I mean is, if you can get in your mind some runners in a relay race running down a path, they come to a point where there is a swimmer standing on the side of the pool waiting to be tagged to get into the pool. That swimmer jumps in the pool, swims across the pool, has a special key to put in the wall of the other side of the pool so that another runner can be released to run down the path. Those runners and swimmers are the impulse, the electrical impulse that happens in the brain. They are the message. That swimmer is who we're talking about here. That swimmer is what is known as a neurotransmitter. And probably everybody on the call has probably heard of things like dopamine, serotonin, GABA. These things are pretty common to hear about these days. But those are the swimmers in the pool. And without them doing their job efficiently, something's going to break down in the mental process. And in the case of ADHD, there are certain ones like dopamine and serotonin and GABA that are not, we know that they are not in the right order. They're not in the right balance that they need to be. And the reason drugs work is all of those drugs target those swimmers. And the popular antidepressants, for example, will create more serotonin swimmers in that pool. Some of the other ones stimulate making dopamine swimmers in the pool. And that's the way the drugs work. The problem with the drugs is they also do some other things in that pool that create some problems, and we call those problems side effects. And those side effects with ADHD drugs can range from anything from headaches to stunted growth to, in the worst case, death. In a 5-year period, there were 51 deaths reported on the most popular psychostimulant medication in the United States. And so, but the drugs work on those swimmers either to create more of them or to limit their activity one way or the other. Now, where's the connection with nutrition? 5 years ago, this is where the light bulb came on for me. Because I always knew the part about the medication and the swimmers. But what I didn't put together was that every one of those swimmers starts out with, guess what, a nutrient. It's built on a nutrient. Dopamine, for example, is built on tyrosine. If you don't have tyrosine, you're not going to have dopamine in your brain. And dopamine happens to be one of those swimmers that's implicated in just about every mental function there is, everything from attention to mood to thinking straight. concentrate. You get too much dopamine and you start hallucinating if it's in a certain area of the brain. So dopamine is an incredibly important swimmer in the brain. And if you don't have tyrosine, then you don't have dopamine. And tyrosine comes from various foods. And it's also in one of the Viramedics products, which is why I regularly use that one with ADHD kids. So there's the connection there. The nutrition basically allows the body and brain to do what it was supposed to do without any of the side effects, and in fact in a very healthy way. And so there's your connection with the nutrition and why it works, is it directly builds and impacts the swimmers in the brain.
Well, you mentioned the product that has tyrosine is Get Going in the Biomedics line, Get Going Plus, and that's generally an energy product which people would use to get themselves picked up during the day, and it sounds like it has the opposite effect for people who have attention deficit issues.
Yeah, it does, and that. But if you think about it, Chris, I've used the term that our most popular drugs for ADHD is in a class called psychostimulants. Why would you give a stimulant to a child who's bouncing off the walls, or an adult? Why would you do that? And for years, I didn't understand that until I started getting into the nutrition and understanding some of these links between nutrition and those swimmers in the brain. But yeah, it basically is sort of like an attention deficit child has a throttle that's stuck wide open, and they can't slow it down. And what do you do if the throttle on your car, for example, is stuck open? You don't let off the gas; you mash on it real quick, and then as you do, it comes back into it, down to it, an idle state. And basically, B vitamins and the tyrosine, as well as psychostimulant drugs, do that same thing. They mash the gas for the ADHD brain, and when it does, it comes into a balance, and that's where the focus and the behavioral control happens.
But you mentioned tyrosine, you mentioned omega-3s. What other products in the Biomedics line help with these types of issues?
Well, BioAlert, that's one of my favorite ones. The choline in there has everything in the world to do with staying focused and staying on tracks. It is one of those here again. I mentioned the swimmers are all built on a nutrient. Acetylcholine is a swimmer in the brain that's been implicated in Alzheimer's disease. Low levels of acetylcholine. Acetylcholine is built from off of choline. So if you're not getting proper choline, you're not getting proper acetylcholine. So the BioAlert is one of those products that you can up the acetylcholine and in the process get a greater measure of focus and balance.
Okay, so you have BioAlert, Get Going Plus. What else?
Well, one of the things that I found is some of this stuff didn't come out of the textbook. It just came really by accident, just hearing what people were telling me and paying attention. And one of them was ADHD kids don't sleep too good. And it took me a while to figure this one out, but a lot of them fall asleep okay, but they just, they have a mud wrestling contest in the bed all night long. And in fact, the first one that I mentioned, how does your child sleep? She says, oh, she goes to sleep 20, 30 minutes. And after about a month, when things weren't, I asked the question again, and only this time I ask it a little different. What does your child's bed look like when she wakes up in the morning? And the lady just cracked up laughing. She said, oh, she might be upside down, sideways, found her under the bed, found her in the closet asleep one morning. She's all over the place. And for that, I have found just the CalMag, just a simple calcium magnesium mix. The CalMag is great. You just about 20, 30 minutes before they go to bed. And I can't even begin to tell you how many parents have told me the first night, well, they slept through the night. If that's the only result we get, we're fine with that. At least the family isn't kept up all night. And so the CalMag is incredibly important. And again, if a child does have trouble falling asleep, the BioNite is a product that I regularly use with them if they're telling me they're having trouble falling asleep. And let's see, what else? What am I leaving? Oh, let me talk a minute about the Allo Plus, because there again, that was something. When we moved from Raleigh down close to Wilmington, we're sort of out in the country, so there's a lot of ragweed and lots of allergies. And I started noticing that, again, along with the sleep, correcting the sleep problems, that a lot of parents' feedback involves, gee, the allergies seem to have calmed down. And I don't know, for a couple of months, I just didn't think much about that. And then it hit me one day, gee, you know, they're taking the aloe, and, you know, that aloe is common, it's an anti-inflammatory, and it's calming down the allergies. And when they left off the aloe, sure enough, the allergies kind of flared up again. And so the aloe, I think particularly up front, is a pretty powerful product to help with the allergies that many times goes along with the ADHD stuff.
Well, no doubt. We've seen increases in absorption, and people who have sensitive stomachs have great results with that product as well, that's soothing capability, so it doesn't surprise me at all. I know we're running down the clock here a little bit, but if you wouldn't mind, just a couple of ideas that you've seen in your clinical practice to support some of this that you've seen firsthand in terms of the Biomedics products and some relieving of the symptoms of these issues.
Yeah, I'd like to tell the first person that I worked with outside of my family circle was a boy, 7 years old. I presented this story in detail in the book. Interesting story. The bottom line is the kid had never slept through the night. He had been kicked out of 5 schools off of 3 athletic teams, including a football team, for being too aggressive, which how you get kicked off a football team for being too aggressive is kind of beyond my thinking, but he managed to do it. His mother was forced to quit work and stay home with him, and just to make a long story short, the Biomedics products, 6 of them, plus an omega-3 formulation, within about 6 weeks, this kid was a completely different child. Just unbelievable the difference. He was able to focus. His mom said, you know, he's able to read through modules, I guess, in part of the homeschooling curriculum. She, excuse me, had, you know, reading modules, math modules. He was never able to get through those. He was able to get through those. He wasn't getting in fights with his siblings anymore. He was sleeping through the night. Just incredible, incredible results. That really, really caught my attention. I mean, you know, I for all I knew, some of these people who were talking about the results, you know, I don't know. I wasn't around when they started. I don't know what it looked like. But in this case, I knew what this looked like. This child was literally bouncing off the walls. When I would walk into the home, he would get a running start, turn a flip on the couch, jump right back up, run over to the other side of the room, and this would go on for 45 minutes. And then after 2 months, he was coming in, handing me a glass of water, and sitting down and listening to me and his parents talk about what was going on. So incredibly dramatic results in his case. And just real quickly, I was called in to consult with a 5-year-old in Wilmington a couple of years ago. The school system said that he either had to take medicine or be expelled from the school because of hyperactive behaviors, disruptive behaviors, that sort of thing. And the parents were really, really angry and threatening a lawsuit against the school. And somehow I got in the middle of this, and I suggested to them. Actually, what I did was I asked everybody involved if I could have a month. I wasn't sure what would happen, but, you know, so what? If we got a month of the same, you know, you guys have been dealing with that for several months now. Let's try it. And after a month, again, to make a long story short, the first result the guy had was sleeping through the night, the little fella. I'm not even sure he really was ADHD, but he was sure hyperactive and was, you know, he had a share of energy, that's for sure. But one thing was definite was he was not sleeping through the night. And the first night he slept through the night with the CalMag and the BioNight, the parents were elated. And you know, when you think about it, it's like the commercial, you know, what's the value of a good night's sleep? If you're talking about a child who is a little irritable and cranky and ADHD, you know, just to give them a series of good night's sleep is worth $1 million in that, in managing that whole process. He did. 30 days later, the school said, we're fine, everything's good. The parents were happy, dropped the lawsuit, and, you know, the child did very, very well after that.
Well, I have a gentleman I've invited onto the call, Russell, if you wouldn't mind, a friend of mine who I've known since he was 9 years of age. His name is Justin Pulley. And Justin, are you on the call tonight?
Can you hear me all right?
I can. Justin, you know, you and I met when you were 9, and I think at the time that you and I had met that you were sort of in transition between getting off medication and just using the biomedics products full-time. Can you give people a little perspective on what your recollection was of that time in your life and sort of what's happened up to this date?
Well, I can tell you that Mr. Thomas just said that teachers are pulling their hair out of their heads. I was one of those kids that was making that come true. I had horrible attention, and I was a little bit wild. I didn't eat hardly anything. I was on Ritalin for quite a while, and it did something to my eating habits. Didn't sleep real good. I definitely played in the mud when I slept. I'd end up on the couch. And we had a basket company in Zebulon. I live in Raleigh, just so everybody knows, a little town called Zebulon. The privilege walked in and told my mom about biomedics, and she was looking for a different route than Ritalin. And that's when I started biomedics, when I was 9 years old, in that transition. And within weeks, teachers were calling my parents after telling me I wouldn't go to college or anything. I got a 2-year degree now. Immediate results. Energy, I had good energy, not wild energy. Grades went up, they were really low, and I played sports. Right when I got on, I played sports for 3 years ago. So it's helped me a whole lot.
Well, I know that, you know, just seeing the difference in your grades was tremendous, not expecting there to be too much in the way of further education for you, but you got accepted to a college, you got a degree from college, and tell everybody what you're doing now.
I just got accepted on the Raleigh Fire Department, so I got to go to a 7-month school. I'm loving it. I'm about to get certified for EMT, and that's always a good thing.
That's tremendous. Well, we're very proud of you, Justin, and having known you since the time you were 9, I can tell that you've grown up to be quite a young man, a very, very impressive young man. I appreciate you giving us a couple minutes tonight.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate it. And let me see if my friend Brenda Cruz is on. Brenda, you might have called in on the other line. Let me see if you... I'll give you a second.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Well, Brenda, would you mind sharing a little bit about your experience with the biomedics?
I'll be happy to. My grandson was 12 years old when we discovered biomedics, and he, too, was on the number one medication with terrible side effects. He didn't eat. He had no appetite. I don't think he grew any in 3 years. And we were looking for an alternative, and we were like most parents. We didn't know there was anything else but what the teachers told you and what the doctors told you. But we found biomedics, and within a week and a half, we were able to get him off the medicine. He actually asked to stop taking the medicine. He said he felt different. He didn't think he needed it anymore. And so that was the last day he took it, 6 years ago. He's now 18. He's an honor roll student. It totally changed his life.
That's amazing. I also have met Cody and impressed by him as well. And I know he's sharing biomedics with other people because he believes so strongly in it now as well.
Right. Okay.
Fantastic. Now, did you invite a friend on tonight? I understand you were going to bring somebody in from New York.
I did. I have a friend from New York, Lorraine, and I would like... Are you there, Lorraine?
I am.
Would you please just tell us a little bit about the results that your son Christian has seen?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Christian is 8 years old, and we actually adopted Christian at 6 months old from Romania. And he is a beautiful little boy. He has always had a tremendous amount of energy, but I've always, as his mother, innately known his heart was just to want to do well and to succeed. He was really oversensitive to just stimulus. Just everything tended to overstimulate him, distract him. He was oversensitive to touch. He was oversensitive to sound in particular. Noises tended to overstimulate him. Just pretty much oversensitive to everything. So how do you kind of walk through life when everyday sensations are kind of overstimulating your nervous system. And I really did not want to put Christian on any drugs, even though at the time they weren't offering any drugs to me. And I was really just an advocate to, I just felt innately, I said, there's something going on in his brain, there's something he's not getting, there's something that he's missing. So I was really in search of that. And I had had Christian on other natural supplements that were for, you know, mental and focus. But they helped him, but they knew that he needed something more. And I researched it some more. I found out about Biomedics, the liquid supplements. And I put them on, gave them to Christian in July. And you have to understand that I was told when he was younger, this child's never going to want to do group sports. It's going to be too much for him. He's going to go out there on the field and he's going to be like so confused and not know what to do and just like people yelling and shouting, we're going to put him over the edge. And I put Christian on the Biomedics in July, and at first I did not put him on the BioAlert, and I was working with Brenda, and I have to say once I had him on all six of those products, the difference with him was huge. He goes to sleep at night. He never did that before. He's eight. I never went to a PTA meeting because I had to be with him because he'd run out of his room every half hour. So he started to go to sleep by himself. And he joined soccer, which was huge. He has a confidence he never had before. He gets up in the morning with a smile on his face. He puts his backpack on. He's ready to go to school. And he feels different. He feels different. He acts different. And it's really done what I've always been looking for. It's just given him what he needs, and he's the beautiful little boy I always knew he was, but now I'm giving him the support that his brain needed. And I've just seen such a huge difference. I'm so thankful for it. And my heart is to share it with other, you know, you don't have to get a formal diagnosis of ADD or ADHD, and you don't need, you know, it's just these children need something, and every child is different, and their brain's different, and these children need something to help their brain, give them the support that they need so they can function in this world. So that's my story.
Well, thank you, Lorraine. We appreciate you giving us a couple of minutes tonight, and thank you, Brenda, for inviting her on. Thank you very much. And Dr. Thomas, as being a part of Biomedics for a number of years, I know you could probably spend, you know, the next couple of hours talking about how the Biomedics products work. But I think realistically, this is just, you know, food-based nutrition. This is materials that we get through our foods, but just at a much more effective dosage in terms of the quality and the quantity of these nutrients, and the fact that it's liquid and very easily absorbed by the body seems to be the key to having these nutritional supplements work. Would you agree?
Well, absolutely, and I'd add to that a couple of things. First of all, I appreciate the comments because it just kind of validated everything that's in the book, and really, you know, that's why I wrote the book, was I was hearing these stories, and it became my experience, and I wanted other people to know about this, that there were some options. But I will also say that I probably have had maybe as many as 10 to 12 parents who were actually using a pill form, heard about what I was doing with the liquid, and called me and said, gee, you know, we'd like to try that, and got results where the pill form basically just didn't deliver. So not only am I persuaded about that we're on to something here, that we've got something when we start talking about nutrition as a way of helping to manage ADHD symptoms, but I'm also equally sold on, I'm not sure that the pill will deliver. I am sure that the micellized liquid will. And, you know, I've seen that one again enough to know that there's some magic in that micellization process, and that is not there. And, of course, you and I know that what that boils down to is greater absorption. If you're getting greater absorption, you're just getting better results. And it's just that simple.
Well, Dr. Thomas, we appreciate it. I know that the book is going to be of value to anyone who has an interest in looking at alternative treatments for people with attention deficit disorders, and I appreciate that the book addresses so many different aspects of the issues that are compounded by the children and family members as they're involved with this type of a disorder. If you want to get your own copy of the book, it is available right now if you go to simplesolutionsfor.com.
at simplesolutions4.com. So it's simplesolutions4.com. And from there, I understand they could either download an e-book or they could purchase the hard copy. It's also available on Amazon, but we recommend people go through simplesolutions4.com for all the different resources that are available on that site as well. Dr. Thomas, did I miss anything?
Yeah, one thing that you didn't miss it, you just didn't know about it. I was able to get up with the finally with our guy that's running our website, and we're going to put until Monday only. We're going to put chapter one of the book on the website on Simple Solutions 4, so somebody can go there and read the first chapter of the book, and it'll kind of set the stage for everything else that the book encompasses. But we're only going to leave that up there until the first of next week. It should be there. I got it literally 5 till 7. I was able to get a hold of him, so he was going to put that on there sometime this evening. So it should be available either later on tonight or first thing in the morning.
Well, we appreciate that very much. And anything else before we go ahead and end the call here today?
I think that does. And again, I want to say thank you for having me on the call.
I appreciate your time as well. I'm sure everybody else does as well. I want to say thank you to Dr. Thomas. Thank you to Justin Pulley. Thank you to Brenda Cruz and Lorraine. Thank you very much for your time. And I want to say if you'd like to know more about the book Turbocharged Childhood, Fresh Hope for Raising Children with Attention Deficit Disorders, you can go to simplesolutions4.com and get your copy today. Thank you very much for joining us. I want to say goodnight from Biomedics. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you tonight on the National Opportunity Call. It's the same number at 6:30 p.m. Good night, everybody.